All right, joining me now is Noel Fritch with The National File. They're going to be joined by historian Bill Federer. Noel, thank you for joining us tonight.
Happy to be here.
Well, as you know, we just heard from Mike Lindell. He has landed in California. And Logan, I don't know if you want to show that picture again, but Mike took a picture of a crowd. There's a group of folks out there, Patriots, that are watching and keeping track of this. Many of them are saying it's time for Arana to go. They want true conservative values. They want leadership. They want a leadership change. And there's one saying, one nation under God. Yes, Mike Lindell. So a lot of them are just ready to be done with Rana, Romney, McDaniel, and they want new leadership. What are your thoughts on this race as we lead up to Friday? Mike's there. He said he's in the suite. He'll be meeting with people tonight, tomorrow, Thursday, and then Friday's the vote. What are your thoughts as we move up to this? And I think Mike right now is supposed to debate them on Wednesday, tomorrow night, but I don't think anyone else is confirmed for John Frederick's debate other than him.
Oh, is John out there for a debate?
Yeah.
I figured Harmeet would have confirmed for that. That's a little bit sketchy that she wouldn't have confirmed. She's a California Republican after all, too, I suppose. So this is the quintessential inside game, Brandon. You're talking about 168 of the biggest brown nosers in the country who managed to elevate themselves to these positions of party chair, national committee man, national committee woman in their respective states. And so it's a patronage gig that they have. How did they get there? Most of these people got there. I can tell you exactly how they got there. In red states have the benefit of having a Republican senator like a Tom Tillis or a Richard Burr or a Lindsey Graham, which is ridiculous. That senator essentially chooses the committeeman and committee woman and party chair. That's how that happens. So a lot of people think that they have a state party, and they think they're mistaken. They mistakenly think that they have a state party in their state capital with their county parties. Good grassroots people. I talk to a lot of these good grassroots people all around the country. We do trainings in journalism that National File does and in some of the political work that I've done all over North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Alabama, Texas, Arkansas, Alaska, doesn't matter where, California. It literally doesn't matter. And this is the funny thing, Brandon. Everybody thinks their state is uniquely corrupt. Oh, my gosh, Texas is the worst. We are the worst. Well, let me tell you, right next door, Tom Cotton, who has got some really bizarre personal habits, in addition to those bizarre personal habits, he's just a horrible, horrible communist who is in charge of working directly with and as a bagman for Walmart and China. And those are the people who are in charge of choosing your party apparatchiks in your central committee. Yeah. These terms might sound very Soviet to you. If they do, that's because it is Soviet. It's a central committee where a very small number of people take all the power and, by the way, take the $2.6 billion that the party raises through their leadership committees and campaign committees and joint fundraising committees and campaign committee arms, NRCC, NRSC, RNC, okay? And then they use it as it's a racketeering operation. It's a protection. In many cases, it's a protection operation. In others, it's just a shakedown operation, depending on the constituent. And when I say constituent, Brandon, I don't mean a voting constituent, like a voter or like a Republican Party member. I mean corporate constituent, somebody who actually has money, that will pay.
Which is why we see on my Worldview report last week, I reported that the Republican Party of Kentucky was building a new building. I don't know if you saw this or not. And
yep. If you go to the Republican Party office there in Arkansas, Little Rock, it's built by the Rockefellers. It's a beautiful building built by the Rockefellers. And people who know their Republican Party history will know that basically what we have going on here is a 50, 60 year civil war going on between your blue blood Rockefeller Country Club Republicans and your more populist Ron Paul, Tea Party, Lean, Goldwater era, libertarian. I shudder to say libertarian, but I'll say it. Libertarian, lean, conservatives.
And that's what Phyllis Schlafly always referred to it as, fight between the country club Republicans and the Patriots.
Absolutely. I love it, man. absolutely. She's exactly right. It is. It's so funny. I got to go to this fancy she private school. I filled in the bubbles real good, Brandon. I went to public school my whole life. Then I went to private school for 3 years. Filled in the bubbles good. A really rich guy paid for me to go to this fancy she school. And it's like it's the Reynoldses. These are tobacco, Keenans, the very Southern plantation type names. And everywhere I go, all around the country, the Clayburgh Ranch people in Texas, the King Ranch people in Texas, literally pick a state, Brandon. Everywhere I've gone to do politics, it is a small handful of names, just a couple of families that I'm working against. Not just like sort of in general, Brandon, literally in specific individuals that when we have a Tea Party populist candidate like a Judge Roy Moore in Alabama or Corey Stewart in Virginia, of course, where their landed gentry, the home of the landed gentry in Virginia, it's specific family names that we're up against. And this is a decades and centuries old battle that we are fighting here. And what it comes down to is, like I mentioned, essentially a Soviet style clampdown, lockdown, vice grip on control of all of the money that runs the party. Okay. In that shakedown system, in that protection racket system, there's a couple different ways you can run a racketeering operation, right? You could walk around with your panhandle out and you could say, hey, I got my hat here. You got a nice business. It would be a shame if something happened to it. Okay. And that's what they do. That's what they do in DC. And because all of the federal code is so it's so huge. And now everybody's really got their piece of the pie. And it's a really difficult thing now to sort of like wedge in a new piece of the pie. The pharmaceutical industry just did a great job of it the last 2 years, creating things out of a whole cloth, this PPA industry, all that stuff, PPO or whatever they call it, these new shots. But most of the people are just running around trying to hold on to dear life for the carve outs that they've been given, okay, so that they don't go away. And then the flip side that you'll see sometimes is when there's a hot industry that Congress and DC and the World Economic Forum, the Global Chamber of Commerce, kind of wants to shake down because they don't like it, or they want to move an industry in a different direction, like energy, oil. This whole natural gas deal and the stoves is a perfect example of that. And so you had AOC whining about gas and it's bad for you. And then what happened? The Republicans should have said, whatever, go away. What they didn't do that though, Brandon. What did they do? They joined in with her to do what? To drive the whole market crazy. Okay, that's what they did. And so they moved it exactly where the World Economic Forum wanted it to go.
Wow. So it's really the Hegelian dialectic. Two sides
it is.
Pitted against each other to move people to option C. Option C was always the choice, but A and B had to fight with each other to push it to the to the left to C. And of course, this is exactly what Carol Quigley in his 1966 book, Tragedy and Hope, warned us about, that the two parties are really one. So if you throw the bums out, it won't interrupt their agenda. So we go back to what I was saying about Kentucky. I reported on my Worldview Report that the news report stated that the Republican Party of Kentucky was having their brand new building built with huge contributions from major corporations, you know, like AT&T and Comcast and all of these different major corporations. So again, the issue is many people, the America First, the Patriots, the Constitutionalists, the citizens, you know, mom and pop America, they want their party to be run by we the people, not by corporatists that are really working both sides of the aisle for their own agenda, not the agenda of the people, correct?
That's exactly right. And I'm going to give you just a quick vignette, and stop me if I've given you this before on this audience, but Ed Gillespie, former RNC chair, one of my clients, Corey Stewart, ran against him in 2017 for the Republican Party primary before Ralph Northam ended up beating Gillespie. Ed Gillespie was the attorney to the Bushes going way back. He defended Tyson Chicken when they were trafficking all kinds of illegal labor across the border. Okay, crazy stuff, criminal stuff he defends. And his job after he lost that governor race was now the AT&T. You mentioned AT&T. top federal lobbyist for AT&T. Well, we broke over at National File maybe a year and a half ago a story where AT&T was coming around. Corey Stewart was then elevated into the Trump administration as Deputy Secretary of Commerce under Wilbur Ross. And it turns out that Ed Gillespie, as I mentioned, was running around like a panhandler with Congress because the Commerce Department was going to put China Telecom, although they're probably the same, China Telecom onto what's called the blacklist at the Department of Commerce, meaning no companies inside of the United States could do business with this blacklisted company, China Telecom. Well, AT&T really badly wanted that contract. China doesn't have all the know-how to do all the stuff. They need AT&T to come in and do it. And so the former Republican Party chair comes in and begs the Commerce Department, please don't put China, these terrorist commies, on this blacklist so that we can do business with them and make lots of money. National File broke that. It went on to Tucker Carlson. God bless Tucker for covering it. No one else would cover it. Why, Brannon? Because Comcast, another company you mentioned, would kick all the TV channels off of the news. Newsmax wouldn't touch it. OAN, I think, actually might have touched it once. And to their credit. But nobody else wanted to touch it. Fox News, I couldn't get anybody at Fox News to touch it. And this is how this business works. And then they try to shut out all of the truly conservative news. You would think that's a key piece of information to know that your Republican Party people are trying to do business. They're in bed with China. Brannon?
Wow. Nationalfile.com. Noel, thanks for being with us tonight.
Anytime. I hope Mike can win this thing and clean house and get rid of the cronyism. The cronyism's got to go. It's $2.6 billion a cycle that they're using to protect all of this cronyism.
Wow. Thanks for your reporting, Noel. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brannon.